Reformed Media Review. My name is Camden Busey, and I'm here to speak about an old book, The Intellectual Life, Its Spirit, Conditions, Methods by A.G. Sertillanges. That's spelled S-E-R-T-I-L-L-A-N-G-E-S. He's a Dominican, O.P., not Orthodox Presbyterian, but he's a Dominican. And this is a wonderful book. It's an old book, as I said, although I was not familiar with it till recently, and I just picked up a copy, purchased it, and absolutely enjoyed, just thoroughly enjoyed reading this book. In the preface to the 1934 edition, the author says that this little work dates from 1920, and so it has been in effect and been on the shelves of many people for quite some time. Although it'd be old, not really old, and at least in the sense of the books that we often read, it is still applicable today, extremely applicable today for those people who would like to learn and to devote themselves to deeper study, as well as to be able to write and to develop thought. It truly is a book here on the intellectual life. And I think it snaps us out of some delusions that we might have about the life of the mind. And it certainly calls us to action and to make some lifestyle decisions if this is a life that we feel to which we are so called. Let me read to you some of the table of contents so that you can understand some of the sections that Sertillanges includes. He has a chapter on the intellectual vocation. It's kind of like laying the parameters and describing what the intellectual life is. Secondly, the virtues of a Catholic intellectual. As I said, he's a Dominican, so he's going to have some angles in there. And he treats Thomism favorably. The organization of life, which includes simplification, solitude, a very important part of the life of the mind, having solitude and being able to spend time with one's thoughts without distraction. He also speaks about cooperation with one's fellows and cultivation of necessary contacts and safeguarding the necessary element of action, but most of all, and what I found very interesting, the preservation of interior silence. Chapter 4 is on the time of work, the time of work. And I want to read you a section here because this gives you will provide for you kind of some of the character here and some of the common sense reminders for people who would be intellectuals. He writes on page 91 of the edition I have, "Evening, how little usually people know about making it holy and quiet, about using it to prepare for really restorative sleep, how it is wasted, polluted, misdirected. Let us not dwell on what men of pleasure make of it. Their condition is alien to ours. But look at those serious people called workers, businessmen, industrialists, public officials, big merchants. I speak of them in the mass. When evening comes, they lay down the reins and throw off thought, giving their minds up to the dissipation which is supposed to refresh them, dining, smoking, playing cards, talking noisily, frequenting the theaters or the music halls, gaping at the cinema, and going to bed with minds, quote, relaxed, end quote. Yes, indeed, relaxed, but like a violin with all its strings completely slackened, what a labor next day to tune them all up again." It's just a helpful reminder for the intellectual, of the person who's seeking to live a life of the mind, the scholar. Does it make much sense to relax the strings of our mind's violin every night, only to spend so much time the next day tuning it back up again? Chapter 5 is on the field of work, which he speaks about comparative study and reading widely so that you might come to a better understanding of a whole range of fields. And then he brings in Thomism here as the ideal framework for knowledge, and speaking of scientia and how to organize the sciences or knowledge through causes. He believes Thomism is the superior system for doing that. In chapter 6, he speaks of the spirit of work and talking about concentration and submission to the truth. In chapter 7, he speaks of preparation for work. And there, although he's earlier mentioned reading widely, he now speaks about not reading too much, but choosing to read well and reading intentionally and under the right kind for the right circumstances. In chapter 8, he speaks about creative work. In chapter 9, the worker and the man. And that's where he sort of winds things up and speaks about the life ahead and enjoying the fruits even while persevering through trials. As I've said, I enjoyed reading this book, and it's certainly a wonderful work of prose. There's great style here, so it's all of it is very readable and a joy to read. But there are so many quotes, things that you can lift out of here, and sections that seem to be rather tweetable, as it were. And yeah, I understand the irony of tweeting quotes from a book on the intellectual life, one of which, quote on page 6, "The jingling bells of publicity tempt only frivolous minds." You think of my Twitter stream and all of its jingling bells. But he reminds us we got to take things seriously. We need to focus. We need to have solitude. We need to be intentional and cultivate a proper life. He says on page 42, "Society life is fatal to study. Display and dissipation of mind are mortal enemies of thought. When one thinks of a man of genius, one does not imagine him dining out." Challenging. Later on page 121, he says, "Everything is interesting. Everything might be useful. Everything attracts and charms a noble mind. But death is before us. Mind and matter make their demands. Willy-nilly, we must submit and rest content as to the things that time and wisdom deny us, with a glance of sympathy, which is another act of homage to the truth." He just reminds us that, look, when you choose a path, when you are going to take up a course of study, or you're going to work on a particular project, as you have said yes to one thing, you mutually are saying no to 1,000 other things. And there will always be more things that are interesting, other things that catch your fancy. Anyone who's worked on a research project, and especially something of the nature of a dissertation, will know that while they're studying and researching their dissertation, they'll come up with 100 other ideas that seem to be even more interesting. That's always going to happen. But if we are to make progress, if we're going to honor our Lord with our minds, and we're going to engage upon an intellectual life for His glory, we're going to be scholars of the best kind, then we need to be focused and concentrated. And we need to labor not out of ambition or some desire for personal advancement, but out of a desire to learn, to promote truth, and to understand so that we can teach others. And as Paul says in Colossians 1:28, that we need to present every man mature in Christ. So I very much enjoyed this book, The Intellectual Life, Its Spirit, Conditions, Methods, by A.G. Sertiange, O.P. It is published by Catholic University of America Press, and there are new paperback editions available online. We'll have links to that in the show notes. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Take up and read.